here's a big deal. I love preaching on missions because as soon as I start talking about missions, especially in this service over last service, when we got newer people and whatnot in there, people just check out on me. Oh, great. I came here to hear what you got to say about Jesus, what he's going to do about my life. Here's the kicker. Missions and living on mission and doing what God has for us here, there, and everywhere in the nations, being missionaries is absolutely on God's heart for every single person. As a matter of fact, I believe without question, you will never walk into the fullness of God and what he has for you without going in this heart, in this manner of being on missions. And so, especially in our midst, I love that a small urban church, regardless if we're connected to a big movement now and all that stuff, we've always been this church where we got all these busted people being healed and restored. Amen. I know this is the second service, but y'all need to say amen. Amen.
We don't say that in our church. Just hear you talk and shut up.
Okay, so here we go. Amen.
Amen.
All right, game on. And so, but it's cool to see. Here's what I'm talking about and why I'm getting this morning, why missions are such a big deal for us. Over the last number of years, I've had a lot of blessings in doing my job. Had some definite hard days, right, Kippy? And but some of the biggest things that I'm blessed by in this job and as a Christian is this. I have had the privilege to go with people in this room and in the last service and some people that have gone to be with Jesus now, honestly, that have served with us over the years and aren't here anymore. But I've had this tremendous pleasure of going on mission, whether it be here in our city, in South Dallas or in the nations, and just watching what God does. Like just if you'll notice me, if you ever come on a trip with me, I'll just sit back sometimes and watch people doing ministry and sharing the gospel and doing stuff. And I honestly cry like a baby because it's not missions and this stuff. This is why I'm saying this. This isn't a story for some super rock stars of the universe of Christendom that go out and do missions. Like this is the you and me's. Right? And by the way, the Bible has always been about God using the you and me's filled by him in obedience to go and change the world. And he's still doing that. This church's existence is very much relied on the foundation of the God uses broken things to do good things. Amen? And so I've had this journey, like I just kind of started making a list of what I've just seen God do. Sharing Jesus, the people in this church sharing at local outreaches and sharing the gospel at work and school and people coming to Jesus and being baptized in this church. Amen. I've seen those being served in our ministries, like our giving center and our food pantry and medical care and all these things. Over the years, we've seen people come to Jesus and be baptized. And even next to that, we've seen people fed and seen the hands and feet and the heart of Jesus wash over that. Amen. We started trying to develop this heart. We saw for like 3 years where we would go, the you and me's of the church. We would go to places and we start venturing out. We'd end up in South Dallas in the hood. Everybody say the hood. We got hood here, but they got the hood. Then South Dallas, and we're in the middle of South Dallas, y'all. And we saw people coming to Jesus. 1 year we saw 12 people in a week come to the Lord and come to know Jesus and be connected to the local church. I mean, just the you and me's. I mean, literally, just the you and me's. And we've seen things like we started praying into the nations and God give us a doorway, God give us a doorway, God give us a doorway for the nations. God opens up a door for us to go and love and be the body of Christ to broken refugees coming out of places like Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. And we're in the middle of Athens, Greece, out in public squares, sharing the gospel with people, weeping with mamas that are broken and miss their children or husbands that have died in country. Like we were there, just the you and I's were there. Seeing that, preaching the gospel, just sharing the heart with people and seeing people get changed. Going into abandoned hotels and schools, all of us, even me dragging my children, one of my kids, just walking into these nasty little places and the light of the gospel showing through people that are actually physically in this room. Amen? We've seen our youth, even our youth, our heart, we've just been pushing. And Pastor Jimmy's been doing a great job with taking our kids and taking them to places like St. Louis. Our kids have gone and served in St. Louis and shared the gospel in St. Louis and worked alongside of churches in St. Louis and bringing the message of hope. A couple years ago, we saw, and by the way, this number keeps growing. There used to be a few of us, and then there were like 10, then there were like 18. A couple years ago, we got to go to Southeast Asia, to the biggest Muslim country on the face of the earth, And us, the you and I's, were there sharing the gospel. Y'all, we saw people get saved. We saw people that were caught up in Islam for generation after generation after generation, caught up in Hinduism generation after generation, see the light of Jesus and come. We saw people baptized out in the ocean, and that wasn't even allowed to happen. That was illegal. And we saw good. Man, we prayed over people and they were healed. You and I, God moving in the nations. Amen. I've seen my own kids. Last summer, you know, we got this opportunity to go and lead a team from Antioch in England and being base parents. And I saw my own kids who are very much part of the core of this church out there, even my 7-year-old little girl out there sharing the gospel. Daddy, I made 5 friends for Jesus today. You want to talk about me going, God is just moving with the people in this place. I've seen this church, these people, you and I, over the years make enormous sacrifices with our time, with our families, financially, to be able to invest in the things of the nations and God's heart for mission in this city over and over and over again. Not thousands of dollars of support coming from anybody, not a bunch of people from the outside of town coming in and serving and doing things with us, primarily just you and I. Seeing this neighborhood change, just seeing the city change, just seeing the nations change. Amen? And I know some of the things that are coming in front of us, and my heart just gets stirred. Here's what I love about talking about stuff like this. Missions, there's a few things that I love preaching God's word, but there are a few things that get me just stirred up like a rocketeer. I don't know if that's the correct saying, but whatever. But here's the deal. This is what I love the most about this. All of those people who went and were praying and were sharing the gospel at one time were people just like some of you that are sitting in this room going, why is he talking about this? This has nothing to do with me. I love that because that's what God's in the business of. God is in the business of stirring the hearts of men and women who don't think they're good enough. You're not through him, you are. Not equipped, you're not equipped, but through him you are. Going and doing what he wants you to in your job, in your school, in this nation, and in the nations of the earth to see things changed. Amen? So if you ask yourself the question, what does this have to do with me? It only has anything to do with you if you care anything about what Jesus is and what he's doing. Amen? So I like to think of missions as coming full circle in your walk. I truly believe that you will not get to the fullness of your walk with Jesus, and we never arrive there, but there are just other levels and dimensions in your faith with Jesus that you will never get to if you never step out in faith and live on mission. Here, there, or anywhere. Amen? There just comes a certain thing that happens when you step out and you walk in the faith of what you're doing. Think about it. Think about this for a minute. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they got perfect communion with the Lord. They break that because of their sinful hearts. Their sin comes into the world. God should have wiped them out, taken them out, but what does he do? He champions for them. He rescues them. He sends his son. And then here's the crazy thing. Through Jesus, the same sons of Adam who brought destruction on the world, now he redeems and uses them and sends them back out to be the bringers of the salvation, the very thing that they desperately needed. Like, he's not just using billboards. Like, he uses us. The way the church moves is that we evangelize the nations and the nations. We make a difference. We love people. We help the poor. We help the broken, the widow, the orphan. That's our job. The people that are lost in the world without him, it's our job. And God equips us, and it brings us full circle from like your story of being broken and lonely and just him capturing your heart and building you up and giving you a new identity. And he comes full circle when you say this, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just love you, and that's what I want. I want what you want. It makes a big difference. From the beginning, because of those things that God has stirred on my heart and our leadership's heart, that has been the heart of this church, is to be a missional church. Which, by the way, if we were going to do away with semantics, is there any such thing as a missional church? It's kind of a loaded question. To be the church is to be the very existence of what missions is. So if you start talking like there's a missional church and they're not really a missional church, there's a problem. But anyway, our heart has been, Jesus, use us for this city, this nations, and the nations. So we had to start with small steps. Listen, I remember our first missions team meeting. we all sat around the table, four or five of us, and we're like, okay, missions, what do we do? And we're all like, pray, read the Bible. We just started coming to us like, okay, we got to get baby steps. How do we get people in this church, people busted, coming out of addictions, dealing with all kinds of crazy family stuff? Like, how do we do it? So we just started laying out this game plan as Jesus led us. And so we started doing things like local missions, just serving the community and going to do outreach at apartment buildings and stuff in our own neighborhood. We began doing things like Operation Christmas Child, right? The little boxes. Well, literally, like, oh, I've seen churches give those boxes out. Let's do that. Encourage our folks to do that and pray for the people that they're sending it to. And then we're starting to establish this heart for the nations. Listen, you can't have a heart fully and completely all for the Lord if your heart's not for the nations. Because his heart is for the nations. His heart is for all of us. So if your heart is disconnected from the things that are far away, God wants to give you a heart that is compassionate and full of prayer and zeal and joy for what's going on the other side of the earth. Amen? So we started doing that. Gospel for Asia allowed me to buy a goat for a kid in India. And so I'd sit around the computer with my children and, all right, what do you want to get, a dozen chickens or a goat? And they're like, oh, goat, Dad. And so we got goats and we started praying for them. I mean, literally, the church started walking that way. We said, okay, God, give us our first trip. We end up in the hood of South Dallas, seeing people come to know Jesus just profoundly, praying for the nations. He opens up the door to Amsterdam and Athens. He opens up the door to Southeast Asia. Our young adults, some of my own children, and places like Susie and you know, Stephanie and Steve's daughters, been to the nations, been to Tijuana, been to Colorado, been to Detroit, they've been to Budapest, they've been to England. These are the you and I's, the me and you's, amen? The us going and making a difference. And there are just some amazing doorways in front of us. Here's what our heart is in this church. And you should know this if you're here. In this room, there are city winners. There are church planters. There are church backer-uppers. There are praying men and women. There are long-term missionaries. There are short-term missionaries. That is what is in this room. And some of you don't even know it. God's like got a nation for you, a city for you, a role for you in the local church with us. God has something for each and every one of you because it's the reason why we're here. Amen? And so it's a big deal. Every follower of Jesus is called to go. Amen? So what is missions? Let's just talk about that for a little bit and throw it up there. It's just simple. What is missions? Missions is taking the salvation, freedom, and restoration of Christ to those who have not heard. So simply, the saved taking to the unsaved. So we have made missions like this super complicated thing. We've made evangelism the super complicated thing. It's not. It's not about the four spiritual laws and the Roman road. Those are all tools. We're talking about that yesterday in the D school. We're talking about training for evangelism. Here's what it is. God has rescued me. He has brought me out of my brokenness. And now I can't keep it to myself. Right? I want to share that with people. That's what missions is. Missions are the redeemed, not the holier than now, not the great Western Church of America going to save the poor Africans that don't have a McDonald's. God bless them. It is people who have been redeemed in Christ Jesus going to share that message with other people who need it here, there, and everywhere. Amen? Missions isn't this big, scary, scary thing that everybody trips out about and we start talking about missions trip. It's really God's redeemed getting on a plane or going to your neighbor and being Jesus to them because you have been overwhelmed by the blood of Christ. That's what it is. Amen? Here's the scripture heart. Here's the quintessential verses in the scriptures about us and you being responsible. Look at your neighbor and say, you're supposed to go. I'll tell you, Steve, because you know I'm sitting next to you. And you're supposed to go. All right, good. You got it? Here, listen to the scriptures. This is the quintessential go verse of all times. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the great what? The great commission. So for those of you who don't know, most of you know about this, but some of you might not. This is Jesus talking to his guys, the men and women who are going to fall after him. And he says, as Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is a great verse to put on the wall. This is a heavy verse if you realize that he's actually talking to you. When Jesus speaks in most contexts, there are some places where he's specifically talking to Paul or Peter about something, but when Jesus does, it comes through, it transforms through the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit. What he is speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to you and me because we are his what? disciples. We are the men and women that he is calling out, that he is teaching from the teachings of the scriptures and from the apostles and the disciples. It's on us. And so when you look at that, you go, oh, okay, so, okay, he's got authority, and I'm supposed to go and make disciples, and I don't know if I can do that, God. And here's the beauty thing. Jesus is in the go. Like, right here in the scriptures, it says, listen, as you go, I am with you. As you go, the scripture, the tense of the word in the Bible isn't if you go, it's as you're going. As you're going, do these things, and guess what? I'm with you always. Well, I'm disqualified. Good. His qualifications will fill every gap of your heart. Amen. Psalms 96:3, interesting text. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. So the psalmist says, declare the glory of the Lord amongst the nations. What is God's glory? God's glory is everything he is. It's his goodness, his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy. It's the cross. It's his power. It's his unchanging heart. And the psalmist just said, declare his goodness to the nations. That's what you do when you go. You don't walk into a country and say, or walk into your neighbor and go, hey, loser, you're going to hell and you need you some Jesus. Which, by the way, it works sometimes, I guess, if you're into that hellfire preaching. But the thing is, hey, the glory of God has changed my life. The power of God is moving. The glory of God is after you. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So what does it mean to reconcile? If you have a bill and it needs to be reconciled, it needs to be paid for, it needs to be taken care of, the balance needs to be zeroed out, made right, have on equal standing is how the language goes. And so listen, the scripture just said through Jesus, we have been reconciled and now we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You're a reconciler through the blood of Jesus. No matter who you are, what your past is, what you think you can or cannot do, God has reconciled you. Now you are called to go and reconcile. And listen to this. It says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. Listen to what this appeal that God is calling through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's what God is saying through us in our lives to other people. Implore you, begging you, please be reconciled to God because it's possible through Christ Jesus. Amen? So that always comes down to the questions of people starting to write themselves off. I've got too much baggage. You don't know what I've done. I can't do this and this. And the scripture just tears our excuses apart. Like my past, I don't speak well to people. I'm an introvert. I'm a recovering addict. I'm a this, whatever it is. And then if you look at the scriptures, it says this, the old has passed away. The new has come. The minute you surrender your life to Jesus, you are new. Now, you don't get totally acting right at the moment because you're learning how to die to your flesh and walk in the Spirit. But guess what? Jesus says, all your old excuses, all the reasons why you can't go and why you think you're disqualified, guess what? That's dead. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And by the way, every person ever on the missions field who died or lived or whatever, saw 1,000 people saved, were the same person. And then I started thinking about the question, so how, what, where? Say how, what, where? Say it 5 times fast. Backwards, jumping on your left foot. Okay, good. So the question is, okay, you're calling me to do this, to live on mission. What does that look like? And it's different for everybody. But here's the deal. Acts 1:8, one of the last things Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, that's their last time with him, like that. He says this, is, and you will receive power, in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, there's a few things in here. So, number one, how can we go? Like, what's the answer to the how? The scripture says the Holy Spirit. Like, how do we, you're not responsible for saving anybody, by the way. You don't have to come up with the right equations. You know, if you do, it's not salvation, it's you. You are supposed to be a vessel, and how we do that and we share and see people come to the Lord, see people's lives changes by this, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have anything to offer except obedience. So as you go, the scriptures say, don't worry about what to say. The Lord, the Holy Spirit will give you the words at the right time, at the right moment. This is a faith issue. Do I really believe that? Okay? And then moving forward, the second part is, and you're supposed to be his witness. Well, what's a witness? Like, what's a witness? I know many of y'all have been in court more than once. Come on. Huh? Somebody that just testifies. Like, that's what it is. This mission thing is living by the Holy Spirit. And I was challenging folks in our D-School yesterday, like, don't just tell me a truth about Jesus. Like, okay, Jesus is good, but attach yourself to it. And I don't mean that in like an extra biblical way. But if you say that God is good, how do you know? Share it with me. What's your witness? Well, I know God's good because in my darkest hour, he did this, da 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 da. Like, that's your witness. That's what we testify when we share with people. We're not going to judge people. We don't have any room to stand on for judgment. We're not better than anybody else. We're just saved by grace. That's what we testify to. That is your witness. Amen? And then here's the where, which is where it's going to hang us all up on this go thing. He says, to Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. This is a geographical thing, but and it pertains to us. So when he says Jerusalem, it's city, it's the local. When he says Judea and Samaria, those are regions. It's like your counties or whatever. When he says to the very ends of the earth, what does he mean? Here, there, everywhere, right? Everybody is called somehow, some point in their life, to be a part of the gospel and what God is doing here, there, and everywhere. Every single one of us, no one is exempt, no one is too broken, no one is too busted, no one is too great to be able to humble themselves and be able to go, no one's too busy. This is the progression of what God has called us to for our lives. Amen? We are called to our city. We are called to this region, and we are called to the ends of the earth. So I started coming up with this. There's some beautiful things about missions. There's some very hard things about missions. But there's some beautiful things about missions, and I lined out these five things I want to share with you. Number one, and here's really the point, mission is birthed out of a heart that has been blown away by the cross of Christ. If you see in the scriptures, numerous places, Peter, Paul, all these guys, just whatever it is, you see Jesus healing demoniacs, and what is their exact spontaneous response? Hey, thanks for healing me, dog. I'll see you in church next Sunday. I'll make sure to make it to Bible study next week. Hey, I'll give $20 this week, maybe. No, they're like completely blown away by the grace of God, and they say, Jesus, I want to follow you everywhere. I want to go. I want to do what you want me to do. See, missions is a simple response to the cross. When we are overwhelmed by the blood of Jesus, the answer becomes, Jesus, whatever you want me to do. That's why at times in my life and dealing with certain people in my life, the people that are afraid to be all in or won't, my honest question for myself in those seasons and for others is, man, have you stopped being blown away by the cross of Christ? What do you have that is worth more than the weight of what Jesus did on the cross that you can hold on to and hold back from him? Because he has purpose for your life. We see that in, I've preached on this text so many times, in Isaiah chapter 6, okay? So Isaiah gets into this place where he sees this vision. He was sitting, he sees the Lord sitting upon a throne. He's high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6. So this is the prophet. And then all these, he sees these creatures and they're singing to God and worshiping him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This whole earth is filled with his glory. And as Isaiah realizes where he is and that he's in the holiness of God, his reaction is, oh snap, I suck, which is a good thing to do. Like, he is in the glory of the Lord, and Isaiah says, I don't deserve to be here. I'm a man of unclean lips. I belong to a people of unclean lips. I should die. And you don't hear the Lord say, hey, don't be so hard on yourself. You're a good guy. What happens? This seraphim flies over with this, takes this coal out of this burning altar thing, and he comes over and he sears it on his mouth. And searing that means, and he even talks about it later, says, behold, we have, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. It's like this picture of the cross, and he comes up and he touches his lips and says, hey, your sin has been atoned for. And then God does this, which I think he does this with everybody. Right after that, the next thing he says in verse 8, and then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isn't it funny how obedience and a mission always directly follows the overwhelming presence and gift of Christ? Always. And Isaiah says, I don't want to yell too loudly because I get excited, but here I am, send me. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. You are so good. I should have died. I've been in your presence and you should have squashed me like the bug I am. But because of your grace and mercy, knowing I'm a sinner, you have made me clean. What on earth could anything on the face of this place that we deal with be sweeter and greater than that? See, the heart of missions is a natural overflow. And I don't just mean the nations. I'm talking about to your neighbors. I'm talking about to people in the city, people you go to school with, people you go to work with. The reason why we want to be salt and light is because we have been cleansed by the presence and the power of Jesus in the cross. And we are, and this is the response. Yes, yes, Jesus. By the way, I'll just say this. If you've never come to that place and experienced with Jesus, you need to get there. That is the core of salvation. Salvation becomes not just when you know Jesus and say, I believe in you. Salvation comes when you say, I see you, I believe in you, and I understand as much as I can that you have died for me and I am yours. You are the Lord. It is not perfect. You mess up, you screw up, there's grace. But the answer is, here I am, Lord, send me. C.T. Studd, absolutely my favorite missionary ever, besides Zinzendorf maybe, but anyway. He says this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Here's the next part of this. So, number one, mission stems out of a heart that has been blown away by the cross. Here's the next part. Missions is simply following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're called to follow Jesus, right? Take up your cross and follow me. Listen to this scripture in John 20:21. Jesus is speaking to his guys again. He says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you. So Jesus makes this correlation. As God has sent me, as the Father has sent me, that same spirit, that same direction is now I'm giving it to you. So then how was Jesus sent? If you ever thought about that from this text before, if you look at it, I just wrote down a few things. You can agree with me or not. But he is sending us. So here's how Jesus was sent. Jesus was taken out of the holiness and security of heaven and put in a dark place. He was sent as a servant. Jesus was sent for the sick and for the poor. Jesus was sent to save sinners, to actually engage sinners and see them set free. Jesus was sent to teach. He was sent here to live amongst the people. Jesus was sent to suffer for truth and righteousness. Jesus was sent as a sacrifice, and Jesus was sent to rescue men and women. The greatest missionary of all times was Jesus. The greatest missionary example for us to follow. Paul's great. You know, all these guys, they're amazing. But Jesus, he brought, think about it. He left the comfortable places, came down in the darkness when he didn't have to, shared himself, became a servant, got low, and sacrificed his life so that people may know him and make him known. So when Jesus says, I now send you the same way the Father has sent me, that's a big deal. There's a lot of implications for that. Amen? Here's another thing. Eternity hinges on mission. So now we've talked about this numerous times, but I'm going to say it again just in case you never heard it. Why on earth are we still in this crustacean of an earth? Why are we still here? Why are we here? Is it because God's just waiting to see the Chiefs win the Super Bowl again next year? Probably. I don't blame him for that. It's the start of a dynasty. Amen. Not as important as heaven, but still an important thing. The scripture's clear. Life on earth exists still the way it does because of one reason. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you. What is the promise that this verse is alluding to? That he's coming back to get us. So this is, the Lord has not been slow as you count slowness. So listen, he is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Why is he not here yet? Why is he not fulfilling that promise yet about coming back to redeem his bride, the church? Because he is being patient so all may hear. All may have the opportunity to come to repentance. Matthew 24, 14. And the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole earth as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Y'all, the reason we're still here is because mission still has purpose. There are still people on the face of the earth that need to hear Jesus. Listen, in the nations, they need to hear about Jesus. And in this country, people need to see the Jesus they've heard about. You see the difference? There's a lot of church-attending unsaved people on the face of this continent. What is important is people need to see Jesus. They need to hear Jesus. That is our mission. So that still exists. We don't go home. Yo, I want to go home and be with Jesus. Anybody? Well, I've got this great thing going on. My kids are going to... No. You have no idea the goodness of heaven if that's your answer. I get it, but heaven's just going to be so much sweeter. But the scriptures say that it's because... And so guess what? That means you have an intrinsically important piece in this. This time and era, because of missions and what God is doing in our country and around the world, there are more people hearing about Jesus, unreached people groups being touched, unengaged, there's UPGs and then UUPGs. Missions is very confusing. Unreached people groups and unreached, unengaged people groups of the earth, people that have never heard the gospel, don't have scriptures, never seen a missionary, they are starting to be consumed by missions movements all over the face of the earth. The number is shrinking all the time. And imagine if it's true. Imagine if we take that, and that's really exactly what God meant, that when everybody hears, every nation, tribe, tongue, and nation hears the gospel, at least hears the gospel, Jesus comes back. And then I have to ask myself the question, why would I not want to be involved in that with my life? Amen? Next one. The heart of missions is a supernatural rescue from a catastrophic danger. Here's a real sweet way to care about missions and sharing the gospel. See the people you love through the lens of hell. We live in a country I don't even understand, where preachers and churches, God bless them, have stopped preaching that hell exists. That the God, a good God, couldn't do that to people. You don't understand the justice of God and the goodness of God and the purity of God and the heart of God. He has to have justice because he's perfect. That's why he sent his son Jesus to be the propitiation, the fulfillment, the one who took the penalty of your sin. And so when I think about that, like, and scriptures just come in, Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation under no one else. There's no other name under heaven given that men might be saved. Then John 3:18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, we're rescuers. We're grave robbers. You should say that with a little dank on it. Yo, I'm a grave robber, right? Like, listen, God has put us, like, the scriptures are clear. We're not to fear the devil. We can resist him. He'll flee. The principalities of this earth have nothing on our daddy, amen? Like, we're here to be rescuers. Even if you don't like people, if you want them to go to hell, you better check your own salvation. There is an eternal separation from God. It's clear all over the scriptures that you can't white it out. It's there. That's why God's goodness is so good, because the reality of what comes without him is so horrible. And Jesus said, hey, you're my rescuers. You've been rescued. You're a rescuer. Listen, Romans 10:13-15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard of? How are they to hear without someone preaching? How is someone to preach unless they've been sent? And then Paul says, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Can I ask you a question? Was there a person in your life that was responsible for the God using for you to come to salvation? one or two people? Was there someone, a mom, a dad, a parent, a friend, evangelist, somebody in recovery ministry? Okay, think about that. Think about them under the lens of your salvation. How beautiful was it that they were there? How beautiful were their feet that literally came and shared Jesus with you, and God used that to tear the door open? How important are they in your life? You're called to be the people, all of us, the people with beautiful feet, because we bring the good news. It's not shame. It's not anything. It's not condemnation. It's the good news of Christ. And here's the last big one I want you to hear. Mission gives us a much needed opportunity to stretch ourselves. Let me say this. I need and you need every opportunity in our lives to stretch ourselves outside of our comfort zone. People who are following Jesus scripturally are the guys that are getting out of the boat, laying down, you know what I mean? Like Peter, like some of us have built a nice mini home in the boat that Jesus would give us temporary transportation in because we're supposed to be walking out on the water with him. What in your life is stretching you in such a way where this happens? You have no control and you have to trust Jesus, period, because that's the only way this is going to move is if Jesus does it. If you are so secure in your money, so secure in your home, your jobs, your stuff, your life. I had a friend of mine this week. He's a chiropractor. He's an amazing guy. You know, he's a funny guy. He's young family. They're beautiful. They're well off. 3 weeks ago, finds out, go to the doctor. His wife has colon cancer. She's in emergency surgery. Their whole world turned upside down. In a minute. Our comfortableness can be a noose to us, y'all. Missions is an amazing way to stretch yourself. We have been in places where we had to, before we left to go, people in this room, we had to sign waivers that says there's a chance of physical altercations or death or anything that comes by disease or by attack. We were going into Muslim nations. We're not always welcome to us. We had to sign those sheets that say, we don't hold Antioch Community Church in regard financially or any way liable for this trip. Amen? And we're all sitting around the table going, oh, duty just got real. Right? I mean, you're looking at this stuff and you're like, oh, this could really happen. You know what the greatest thing in the world was? Being scared. Stepping through that fear, trusting the Lord for what he said, and coming out on the other side. Like there is something, I can't explain it to you. Being in a place where it's dangerous to be, and you have to pray every morning for God to protect me and go with me, cover me, be with me, be my light, be my guide. It is so empowering. It's so weird. You think you would be the other way around, but you're actually going, guess what you're doing? You are literally taking step by step by step by step with the Lord of heaven. And it's powerful. J. Hudson Taylor said, I have found that there are three stages in every great work of God. First, it's impossible, then it's difficult, then it's done. That's what he does. What in my life is only an opportunity for God and God alone to work? I'm like trying to do this hybrid life where I need a miracle of God, but I've got my backup plan. It's supposed to be totally different than that. It's supposed to be God is my A and my backup plan. Amen? Clarence W. Jones said, the more obstacles you have, the more opportunities there are for God to do something. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, essential coffee cup verse, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Listen to what that said. Don't lean on your own understanding. There is a point in your walk in every area with your kids, with your marriage, with your money, with your safety, with your friends, with church. There is a place in there where we have a comfortable line that we understand things that are going on. I got my mind around it. But the scriptures are calling us, don't lean on your own understanding. And if you're living in your world of only understanding what's going on, stretch yourself. You've got to put yourself out on the waves walking with Jesus, no matter what it is. Because as you get stretched, you grow. People who don't stretch don't grow. People who don't put themselves in places to trust the Lord only. We sat down a number of times in mission trips and just thinking about things like everything is an obstacle in mission trips, especially for us. So finances. First year we went to Athens. Okay, we need $30,000. What? 30 grand. And then we doubled that when we sent out double amount of people, right? And every time, and it's scary because the church was always tanking like we always are in the summer. God help us. And we have to go through things, and God always provides. Every time we say, we can't do this, we hear you calling, God, you and you alone do this, he provides every time. Amen? It's just weirdly amazing. Amen? Can I say that? Is that right to say weirdly amazing? Missions is an opportunity for you to be stretched. Think about this coronavirus thing. Everybody is flipping out. Let me say this. I care deeply about our team. I care deeply about our church. I care deeply on this team about my wife and some of my children. I care deeply about it, but here's what I care. What did I say? No, I mean, some of them are going. I care deeply about all of them. I just, God, no, there's just the oldest. No, there's two of them in here. And so that you were the two I was referencing. So praise God. You're the favored ones today. Till the blondes come in. What about coronavirus? A lot of people are tripping. A lot of people are canceling flights, canceling missions, canceling vacation. And I get it. Some of that stuff is possible. And God might close the door. But I was left with this. Okay, people are sending me text messages about flipping out. I'm watching the news. People are flipping out. All this stuff is going on. They're closing flights. We are literally flying this summer in and out of the country where this started. And so I have to look at that and go, okay, I want to go, and say, hey, let's go to Fresno or something like that. Let's do something like that, right? And in the end, I just had to stop and say, okay, I want to wash this over this. God, what is your heart? Because you know what? If God is calling us into those places, God and God alone will take it and use it for whatever he wants. He'll do it. He's done it over and over and over again. By the way, because of coronavirus, I would think that God is using this for his glory. And what are you saying by that? It sounds, there are lonely people, sick people all over the world, trapped in their houses, trapped in hospitals, can't move, they can't go to work, they're broke, they don't have money, they don't have food, they're starving. And what do you think the answer is to those things? The church has always been the people that run in, not run out. Obviously, we're going to use hand sanitizer. We're going to wash our hands. If you bring one of your children here and they're sick, we're going to throw them out the back door nicely. There'll be a mudslide out there or something like that. I don't even know what that is, right? But listen, don't you let the fear and the mongering of the world take you away from what God's calling you into. Amen? And if God changes the plans, then we're on to Fresno or wherever we're going, but we're still going. Amen? So those things are essential. I've just came up with a million other things, and we're not going to get through them today, but these are just some quick stops. Like, listen, missions locally and overseas is a great way to fulfill the Great Commission. Listen, trips will expose the vast lostness of the world. We watch TV and we disconnect. You know, a great way to care about the kids in Calcutta who live in India, who eat from dogs because their mothers have died from AIDS? You go there. That's who you want to foster a heart for. I have a hard time fostering a heart for people. Go! I dare you to go and sit there with them and not have a heart explode of compassion for them to actually do something. Trips do that. It gets us out of our cave. We've seen it stir missions at home. It's awesome. Like, we go to the nations to help them, but what helps us the most in our lives is when we go. And then we come back home, and then your fire is lit for the kingdom. Amen? And this is what I love. We bring something to the table. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again on missions. There were a lot of times where a lot of people would tell me things like, you guys are broke, you don't need to go. You don't, just send the money. I don't know, I've just had grown-up people in big churches tell me these kind of things. And like almost like we have this persona like busted people don't have a place in the world of missions. I think that's dumb. Can I say that? Here's what I think. Those of you who have issues, you got baby daddy issues, mama issues, mama baby issues. That's weird. All that stuff, no matter what you have, you've come out of addictions or lost people, or you've dealt with your mind and deal with mental illness, and God has brought you restoration. Man, what do you think God wants to use with you in the nations? Every time we go somewhere, God draws us to people that we have similar hearts like, and we can minister to them when these other 20-year-olds, they're beautiful, they're sharing the gospel, they don't have that. You have something to offer in the nations. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you have something to offer. If you're a lawyer, if you're a truck driver, if you're a recovering addict, you've walked out of that, you have something to offer. Because God has equipped you. Here's the thing. Your brokenness in the kingdom, God uses to turn around to be one of your greatest tools. Always. Amen? So when I say we're called to missions, what am I saying? Do I mean that everybody here needs to go overseas and become long-term, lifelong missionaries? No. I mean, it'd be great. It'd be kind of weird preaching on Sunday, but if you're not here, that means I can finally get out of here. But here's the deal. Some people in this room are called to it. I don't care what your upfront reaction to that is. Some of you in this room have been called by God or created by God to go to the nations. Some of you have been created by God to go to different cities or to be a pastor at one of the Antioch churches or through here. God has stemmed that. And by the way, being a pastor is one of the hardest missions fields on earth because we're doing the work of the ministry. People that are outside the church walls, you have the greatest impact on the face of the earth. You have access to the lost and to broken people. Amen? You're excited about that. Some of it are being called to this country. Some are called to live on mission daily here and influence. God is like, you know, why are you at your job? Okay, God, I'm at my job. I hate my job. I don't want to be there, but I understand that you have me here because you want me to be salt and light. I'm in my school because you want me to be salt and light. You want me to be the answer to the problem, not a part of the problem. God is calling us, all of us. And I will say this, some of us are called to send and to give sacrificially and be a part of that. And if I could just challenge every single person in this room, and okay, how old you are, what you've done, where you've been, please pray and put it on your heart to go at least one time in your life and see what God does with you. One short-term trip. I'm going to give you every option for the rest of my life that I can. Two-week trips, one-week trips. Just say, okay, I don't want to do this. We don't have the money, blah, 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 but I feel like God's calling me to go. And just go. I promise you, what you will meet out there is the fullness of what God has for you. Anytime you step out in faith into the journey of places where you're afraid to go and meet God there, He just blesses your life. We are all called to be a part of the go. Amen? Every believer should have a mission focus. Every home should have a mission focus. Every person that has a job should have a mission focus. Every house church should be on mission and have a mission focus. We're about to tweak things up in some of our house churches after this semester to make sure our house churches are stopping becoming pots of gathering and places to go. We must do that. Y'all, we're going to plant churches. We're going to send people. It is the agenda of our heart. To not only, and here's what happens. Once you become a part of something that's bigger than yourself, your life starts to change. Churches die because they focus on themselves and do their thing and try to attract a bunch of people when the scriptures don't say anything about attracting people. It says go. So when churches turn on themselves and just depend on people to show up on a Sunday, it dies. When a church will go outside the walls and give itself to the nations and to the nation and to our city, that's when we thrive because we don't train for ourselves, we train for the kingdom. We don't build for ourselves. We build for the kingdom. It's not about bigger buildings and bigger things like that. It's about the kingdom.